You've done it, and I've done it, driving and talking on the cell phone, and driving and texting, reading an email, well, because I know I can multitask. We all know that, right? We suddenly got this new skill from God. All of us can multitask, right? After all, I can walk and chew gum. Scientists have done studies now that tell us that, yes, we can walk and chew gum because chewing gum, something that's repetitive, our body just does it. But it doesn't affect our brain. When there are two things that focus on our brain, then the brain doesn't know what to do. It gets confused. Our mind is made so that we can focus only on one thing at a time. We remember something, goes into the short-term memory, it gets stuck there, and then it goes into the long-term memory. But when you have two things going into your brain, it doesn't know if it should go into the short-term brain, short-term memory. And then we try to remember it, and we can't. Even at Google, they've held meetings where people have their laptops while they're having a meeting. And those people who have the laptops really don't know what happened during the meeting. You think they are working, they are tapping the notes. Well, they are not. They are not focusing on the meeting itself. So now in the most important meetings at Google, no laptops are allowed. They want you to really focus and be there in the meeting. The Mythbusters show on TV, I don't know how many of you watch that, they try to find out, well, is driving and talking on the cell phone just like driving under influence of alcohol? And lo and behold, they found that sometimes it is even worse than driving under influence of alcohol. That when we are on the cell phone, that we made even more mistakes than if we were driving under alcohol. Likewise, the Car and Driver magazine also did the same test about people receiving email or texting while driving, or people driving under influence of alcohol. The problem was that, yes, it's even worse than driving under the influence of alcohol, but especially when you're trying to read an email, that causes even more problems than when you're trying to text. For young people, it was similar, but for us older folk, trying to send a text while driving was like huge, a big problem. I hope that we won't be deceived by this notion that we can multitask, that we will not put ourselves in dangerous way or people who are walking or driving in front of us. So what does multitasking have to do with prayer? Here we begin a new series on praying like Jesus. Well, didn't Jesus multitask? If prayer is conversation with God, as we have generally defined it, conversation is an activity that requires our full attention, doesn't it? You've heard it from your wife or your spouse or girlfriend or boyfriend. You're not paying attention to me. Why aren't you listening to what I'm saying? You've heard that, right? Having a conversation requires that we pay attention. Great conversation is about listening. And I think our conversation with God is no different, because it takes an effort to listen. What if you had a couple and two of them are constantly talking at each other? Does it make for a good conversation? No, one has to be listening. One has to be quiet. And then it goes back and forth, right? When I was little at Christmas time, we loved to receive the snow globes. Remember those? And of course, you would shake the snow, and it was lovely to hold that. And of course, it was a game for us, right? To see the snow shaking all around. But to see what's really in it, you really had to set it down. or hold it in your hand so that a snow would come down and that you will see the beautiful winter scenery that was within the globe. I think silence is like that. All of us live lives that are so shaken and pushed and pulled. Sometimes we don't know if we're going or coming. And there are so many pressures on us that it feels like it's like a snowball. It's all flying all around us. And silence is a moment where we say, I'm going to put this down. I'm going to be quiet now. Let it all settle down so I can see where I'm at. Silence is like that surface of a lake where you look into it and you can see a reflection when it is quiet. And that silence allows us to see God, see ourselves for who we really are. So we know that silence is important. And we know the words of Jesus. He told us, when you pray, go into your room, shut the door, and pray to God in secret. And suppose we do that. And we do that. We try that. And we close our eyes, and we have perfect silence. Yes? Have you tried? Close your eyes, and you think silence will come to your heart? I could try this right now, even for 2 minutes. And we're going to do this later on. But what happens? Because we're living so busy, pushed, hairy lives, even when we go into the silence, into the secret room, and close our eyes, we will find that our mind is going everywhere. Especially when you try to pray, you remember stuff that you didn't even remember that you knew. You remember things that you have to do, your kids, your job. And so you leave the room thinking, well, did I really talk to God? Or have I been struggling with all the things in my mind? In such a state of mind, can we really listen to God? When there is so much noise, does God have any chance to get through to us? Remember the picture of us playing telephone with a tin can with strings attached? And of course, I wish that when we pray, it's like that, us on the line and God on the other line. But I think we live our lives more like one of those bullhorns. From both sides, people, things blowing that bullhorn right into our ears when we try to pray. So, how can we listen to God? How can we be quiet? So Jesus does suggest a simple thing. Go alone to a place where you can at least give yourself a winning chance. Go to a place where God can begin a conversation with you. For some people, it might be that you need to go out into the nature or to your backyard, or it might be in your little den alone by yourself. As long as we can be free from distraction, from noise, from the concerns that are constantly impinging on our minds. So how can we pray like Jesus? How can we pray like Jesus so that we can move mountains? Well, I think we need to do some prep work to do that, right? We need to be able to go to a place where God can talk to us. When I counsel young couples getting ready to marry, I talk about practicing active listening. Because when it comes down to it, most marriages suffer because we have forgotten how to listen to each other. We don't really hear what the other person is saying. So I have the two partners practice. I would say to the groom, well, you tell your bride these words. Honey, I really enjoy going shopping with you, and I want to do that more often with you. And then I have the groom, bride repeat that back to the groom. I think I hear you saying, you love going to shopping with me, and you want to do that more often. The groom will say, yes, that's what I said. Often we don't hear what the other person is saying. So simply to repeat back what your partner has said is a beginning of learning to truly listen. How can we hear God? I know we have all our reasons. We are busy. There are so many things on our agenda, on our calendar. What if this week we decide to give God 5 minutes in our calendar? Put it in your calendar, 5 minutes, God. And when that thing happens and when you see the message from Google Calendar, in 5 minutes, talk with God, what if we took those 5 minutes and say, okay, God, here I am. I'm ready to hear. And at first, it'd be very tough because our mind has learned to be quiet. We'll hear so many noises. We'll be there, but we won't be there. So learning just to be there with God. I think sometimes we think of prayer as talking to God or demanding things from God. Well, let's consider this week a prep work. Just as the two teams are all ready now to play the game in New Jersey, let's say that this week we're going to prep to pray. You don't have to say a word to God, but just to be in God's presence, to say, God, here I am. I'm ready to listen. You know, we look at the life of Jesus, and oftentimes we miss an important part. Yes, we see Jesus teaching, we see Jesus fishing, we see Jesus healing, we see him meeting people. Yet the Bible is very clear that all of that was based on Jesus' constant contact with God. The Bible gives us a few hints that early in the morning, disciples would find him up in the hills or by the lake, saying, I need to be in touch with the one who is the source of my strength and my life. He was immersed with God, and that enabled him to serve others in ways that we can't imagine. Evelyn Underhill is a famous Christian mystic, and in her book, Mysticism, she writes about silence in this way. She says, the self is as yet unacquainted with a strange plane of silence, which so soon becomes familiar to those who attempt even the lowest activities of the contemplative life, where the self is released from succession, the voices of the world are never heard, and the great adventure of the spirit takes place. Silence, therefore, is the language of prayer. It opens a door for us to have an adventure with God. Because if prayer is conversation, it is to remain in the presence of the beloved one who creates us, to hear what God has to say to us. In the beginning, you might think of silence as boring, and you become restless, but I hope that you'll let silence enter deep inside of you, and you'll be able to enter deep inside of that. I invite you and I challenge you to enter silence this week. Start with 5 minutes if that's all you can afford in your busy life. If you can do more, put 10 minutes on your calendar every day and see where God leads you in your spiritual journey this week. After we sing our song of response, we'll be singing the first two verses. We're going to spend about 2 minutes. I'm going to give you 2 minutes to remain in silence and hear and begin the conversation with God. Let us sing now our song of response.